It is truly an honor and it's truly a joy to stand before you all this morning, knowing that as we stand before the presence of our Almighty, we strive to worship Him in spirit and in truth, thus being defined as true worshipers by His Word. We have truly been enjoying these past 3 days the lessons from our God's Word by His servant Mike Bonner. And it's truly an honor to know that we have grown and we have learned so much. But as we've mentioned before, we now must emulate the example of the Bereans and research that which we've heard. We want to thank everyone who's joining us today as we now reach the final lesson in this gospel meeting that has been entitled, The Only Mediator Between God and Man. As we said earlier today, Brother Mike Bonner accompanies us from San Angelo, Texas, where he is the preacher and one of the elders of the Ninth and Main Church of Christ, and he is accompanied this morning by his wife and his daughter. So, without taking more time away from our brother, preach the truth, bro.
It is true that there is only one mediator. And when we consider that great concept and that great thought process, we can't help but to thank God that He is not the author of confusion. When we consider that particular idea and point, God is not in the business of confusing us. Satan is. And so when I considered the lesson for this morning, the only mediator between God and man, I was so grateful. Because you don't have to guess. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to do mental gymnastics to wonder who is he talking about. Don't you hate it when you don't know where people are coming from? When you can't figure people out? When they're not being transparent? That's not with God. And the very fact that I have been given this title from the elders demonstrate, at least with the title, that they understand that there is only one mediator. Why? Because the Bible teaches that. And if the Bible teaches that there's one mediator, and we can find out and figure out through Holy Writ who that mediator is, that leaves room for no one else being the mediator.
Amen.
No one else going to God on our behalf from the divine essence. The divine nature. When we consider Hebrews 9, verse 13 through 15, again, we give God glory because of the great subjects given unto us. But I venture to say that this one here makes me giddy, makes me happy. And the reason why is because of the greatness and the majesty and the power of Jesus Christ. When we consider what makes Jesus so special, is it because He is the Son of God? Is it because He is the Son of Man? Is it because He is the Savior of the world? Is it because of the great miracles He performed? Is it because of what He has taught? Or is it because of the way He endured? I venture to say that all of these are vitally important and they're powerful. But I venture to say that Him being mediator, Him being able to identify with deity and humanity is so powerful. It's off the charts. is off the Richter scale, if I can say it that way. Because who else can say that? When we consider the humility of Jesus, in Philippians 2 and verse number 5, the Bible demonstrates to us, as Paul is talking to the church at Philippi, he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it a robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant, as a bondservant." Why is that so powerful? Because even in that context, verses 1 through 4, we see how we're supposed to treat and respond to one another with the humility and esteeming others better than self. That's powerful. But what about Jesus being the wisdom and power of God? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 22 through verse 23 or 24. Jesus Christ, according to what the Apostle Paul said, as he is demonstrating that Jesus Christ is the wisdom, not the wisdom of the world. Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputers of this age? He says, "I'll put Jesus up against them at any time." It's powerful. But that's not what we want to talk about. I would venture to say Jesus' role as mediator and intercessor between God and man is probably more powerful than what we give it credit for. Here he identifies with deity, the divine nature. Here he identifies with humanity, his creation. And he can stand between two, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession and mediation, because he's unbiased and he knows both sides. No wonder, as Christians, we are intercessors for the world. No wonder we can go to God on the world's behalf. As a matter of fact, we'll demonstrate that God has commanded us to do so. Why? Because they can't do it for themselves. Oh, did y'all get that point? Did y'all get that point? We can't go straight to God ourselves because we need a go-between. God is holy. He will burn us up if we go to him without Jesus Christ. We understand who God really is. A mediator. When you consider it from the definition of Strong's, a mediator is one who intervenes between two, either to restore peace and friendship or to form a compact. A medium of communication, an intercessor. The question is, can we appreciate this part of Jesus' responsibility? If we look at the text in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 through 15, "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more?" The Hebrews writer, as he is demonstrating that Jesus the Christ, it is through him and his blood that we're able to come before God and offer latreo and offer spiritual worship, not through the blood of bulls and goats, but through the precious blood of Christ. We'll have more to say about that here in a second. But notice what he says, "Who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God." Notice, "cleanse your conscience." I put wow in my Bible. I don't know when I did it, but I did a long time ago. Wow. Which demonstrates that in order for me to approach God, I have to approach him in the way that he has designed it. Watch this point. With a clear and cleansed conscience. And that conscience, that inner man, Romans 7 verse 25, can only be cleansed by the blood of Christ. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 14. And so when we consider this and we think about God is spirit and Jesus right now is not in the flesh. Jesus right now is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God in a new body. We know this according to 1 John 3 verses 2 and 3. We don't know what we're going to be as, but we're going to be as he is. And everyone that has this hope within them purifies themselves even as he is pure. No wonder we don't know what we're going to be like. But we do know this, that Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, and because of the blood, and because of our obedience to God the Father through Jesus Christ, our conscience can be cleansed in baptism. Now we can come before God and offer up spiritual sacrifices. Which that verse all by itself says that a sinner can't come before God and offer up spiritual sacrifices. One has to be cleansed. But notice what he goes on to say. Cleanse your conscience from dead works, referring to the Old Testament system. Not just sin, the Old Testament system. That's the context of Hebrews. To serve the living God. And for this reason, he, who is he? Jesus Christ is the mediator of the New Testament. The new covenant. How, Hebrews writer? By means of death. For what reason, Hebrews writer? For the buying back, for the redemption of what? Of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Now, the Hebrews writer said a mouthful. But I want to say this before we look at the text. You know how we do it. I want us to talk about first the responsibility of a mediator. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting at verse number 1, notice what the Bible here demonstrates to us. Because if we're going to appreciate Jesus Christ being the mediator between God and man, we have to understand what was his responsibility. Therefore, I, Paul says, exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority. Why, Paul? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence, piety and respect. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Why? Because he desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now notice verse 5. This is why we have to study our Bibles. For there is one God. We believe that. And one mediator between God and men. And notice, by inspiration, the Apostle Paul tells us who that mediator is. It's not God, the Father. It's not God, the Spirit. It's God, the Son. We're talking about roles. Just when you think about the husband-wife relationship, they are one in the home. But God, through his infinite wisdom, has made the man the head, even though some of us don't act like it. One old preacher said one time, I got the last word in the house, yes, dear. Well, he got that authority, ain't that right, Brother Albert? Yes, dear. No, but that ain't how God did this. So God designated a mediator, and it wasn't the Holy Spirit, and it wasn't he himself. He designated Jesus Christos, Messiah, Anointed One, Jesus. Friends, you can't argue that point. You will be a fool to argue the point. Why? Because we have a clear passage that demonstrates that there is a one go-between. And it's the one, Jesus Christ. But watch this. Who gave himself a ransom for all to testify in due time. Who gave himself a ransom? It wasn't the Holy Spirit. It wasn't the Father. It was the man, Christ Jesus. Now that's important for us to keep in mind. Go to Galatians chapter 3. For Jesus himself is not biased. He wants both sides to win. Both sides to benefit. God sent forth his son Jesus Christ to save all men in order for him to benefit and in order for the sinner to benefit. For the sinner to be saved through Jesus Christ and for the saint to have someone to go through as it relates to prayers, as it relates to worship to him, the Father, Galatians 3. Look at verse 19 and 20. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgression. Notice the time word, till the seed should come. Question, who is the seed? Galatians 3 and verse number 16, the seed is Christ. Did the Christ come? The answer is yes. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Now, when we stop and we consider Jesus Christ being the mediator, Jesus mediates for many. When you need a mediator, you need someone who is unbiased. You need someone that's going to listen to the information. You need someone that's going to do what's best for both sides. Jesus did what's best for both sides. He appeased the wrath of God. He appeased the pleasure of man through the pleading, because man pleads for salvation. 1 Peter 3, verse 20 and 21. Why? Because of the answer of a good conscience towards God is man pleading for God to save him from his sin and to cleanse his conscience. And he does that through the person of Jesus Christ. Number two, why is Jesus' role so important as mediator? Look at Hebrews 8. In Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 6, as we make our way to Hebrews 9. In Hebrews 8 verse number 6, why is his role so important as mediator? In Hebrews 8 and verse number 6, for time's sake, you go back and you read verses 1 through 5, because when you look at verse number 1, he said, now this is the main point. This is the sum. This is what it's all about. But in verse number 6, notice what he says. And it's very important for us to understand this, because it helps us to understand what is God teaching. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also a mediator of a better covenant. Not the law of Moses, friends. Not the patriarchal system. But the law of Christ, Galatians 6 verse 2. 1 Corinthians 9, 20 and 21. Which was established on better promises. Why was it so important for Jesus to be a mediator? Because there was a better covenant coming. With better promises. In Galatians 3 verse 21. Here the Apostle Paul would say by inspiration, as he is arguing with the brethren at Galatia, because again you had the Judaizing teachers who were teaching that you needed to be circumcised alongside of being baptized and obeying the law of Christ in order to be saved, in order to be justified. He said, if there had been a law which could have given life, verily righteousness would have been by the law. Life was not under the law of Moses. Life is inside of Christ. And this is why anyone who lived under the patriarchal system and under the Mosaic system had to wait for the death of Christ. Friends, forget that, brothers and sisters in Christ. Here, our mediator, Jesus the Christ, gives us something very powerful to consider. Why is this a better covenant? Friends, can I encourage you real quick that Jesus Christ is the mediator of the New Testament? Not the law of Moses, not the patriarchal system. Jesus Christ is the mediator of the New Testament. Let me persuade you. Look at verse number 7. In verse number 7, the reason why his role is so important is because the first covenant at fault, but not his. In verse number 10, this law, this covenant, will now be in the hearts of men and not on stone. In verse number 12, mercy will be demonstrated through, will be demonstrated through unrighteousness and sin being forgiven immediately. Under the old covenant, sins were not forgiven immediately. But watch this. Every time, Brother Albert, you and I sin against God, we go to God, we say, Father, I'm sorry. Guess what he does immediately? He forgives us. Amen. Not under the old covenant. Their sins were rolled forward. We don't have to go and offer an animal sacrifice. We don't have to go through a Levitical system. Aaronic. We don't have to go through Moses. Now we go straight through Jesus Christ to the Father. Friends, do you understand the beauty of this better covenant? In Hebrews 9, verses 13 through 15, more reasons why Jesus, his mediation is amazing. In verse number 13, it is not associated with the blood of bulls and goats. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, I remember when I studied this and came across this point. Foy E. Wallace, some of y'all may know of him, old gospel preacher, said something that was so powerful. And I've been thinking about it and meditating on it and saying it ever since. Look at 1 Peter 1, verse 18. Do you realize that the blood of bulls and goats do not equate to the blood of Jesus Christ at all? The blood of bulls and goats never purchased anyone. Do you realize how important we are? And how Jesus being the go-between between us and God. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed, meaning bought back with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Friends, watch this. When you think about us being purchased by this mediator, this intercessor, this savior, we're purchased by the blood. It is this blood of Christ that puts us in a position that we can offer up latrayal, spiritual services unto God, homage unto God. It is the precious blood of Christ that bought us. Watch this. That means that the purchased price and the purchased possession are of equal value. Friends, did you get that? Brothers and sisters in Christ, the blood that was shed some 2,000 years ago, if you have been baptized into Christ, you are of the same value of the blood, Colossians 1 verse 20, that was on the cross. You are of the same value as that blood. We're not cheap. And sometimes we sell ourselves off as being cheap, even to the point that we don't even go through Jesus. We try to handle situations on our own, and the mediator is saying, come through me, I'll help you. Friends, did you get that point, how valuable you are? I believe if people understood their value, they wouldn't give away their body for free. If they understood their value, they wouldn't fill their lungs with smoke and weed and crack cocaine. If they understood their value, they wouldn't sell themselves to the devil if they understood their value. If they understood that there was a mediator, an intercessor, one that is ready to go to God on their behalf, they'll rethink some things. Go back to Hebrews 9 and verse number 14. Here, with the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses the conscience. His blood positions us to offer spiritual sacrifices to God. His blood took care of, verse number 15, notice, one thing you got to love about God, there's nothing selfish about him. He understands those who lived under the first covenant, those who were faithful under the first covenant. Notice verse number 15. Here the Bible demonstrates to us, And for this reason, he, talking about Jesus, is the mediator of the New Testament, the New Covenant, by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. God, it is through Jesus Christ that you're going to take care of those even under the first covenant. It's through him only. Notice Hebrews chapter 11. I was pondering. I came across this passage. Brother Eddie Rodriguez and I was talking one time, and he said something that was powerful. And I don't know if he really thought about what he said, but I caught it. And what he said, that those who are under the first covenant, God, even though we're under the law of Christ, are not better than they when it comes to entering into the kingdom, that eternal kingdom. Jesus, the mediator, the go-between, the one that makes enemies friends. Look at verse number 39. All of these, this is the Hebrew Hall of Faith. Those who have died faithful to God, all of these having obtained a good testimony through faith. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. All of us are going to go to heaven at the same time. All because of the mediator. All because of Jesus Christ. And no wonder when you think of the brethren in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. What about our dead loved ones? Those who died in Christ, when Jesus Christ comes back, are they going to miss the resurrection? No, we're going to go in at the same time. That's why when someone dies in Christ, they go to Abraham's bosom. They are a friend of God. No one is going to go to hell until Jesus Christ comes back. For he will be the one that will say, depart from me, I never knew you. He would be the one that would say, come in, ye blessed, enter into the joys of thy Lord. All of us are going to go in at the same time. Those who are faithful under the patriarchal system, those who are faithful under the Mosaic system, and those of us who are faithful under the Christian dispensation, all because of that one mediator, Jesus Christ. Wow. God, was this your magnificent plan from the beginning, before the foundation of the world? I had Jesus Christ in mind, that he was going to mediate for all men. Not the Holy Spirit. Not me, as relates to the Father, but the second person of the Godhead, the Word, who put on time and flesh. He is going to be the one that I'm going to work through in order to draw men to me. Friends, did you get that, brothers and sisters in Christ? Sometimes Mike Bonner can look at things so surface, and God is saying, can you spend a little bit more time in the text and get underneath the text and get blessed by me? Amen. Sometimes we're spending so much time with things that shouldn't require our time that we can't spend time with God. Friends, the Bible is right. And if you go back to Hebrews chapter 9 and end with verse number 15, and if you notice that those who are the called may receive the promise. You see the definite article before promise, the promise of the eternal inheritance. You see the definite article before eternal inheritance. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. In 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. It's not a dead hope. Friends, when we die in the Lord, we're not dead. We're not spiritually dead. There may be a separation of body and spirit. We may be missing our loved ones, but if they died in the Lord, oh, we don't sorrow like those who have no hope. Notice what he goes on to say, friends. You got to believe God. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Notice the word to. The Greek word there is eis, meaning that it's pointing towards something. It's like repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for eis, remission of sins, which means that it ends with the remission of sins. Here we see that this is to eis, an inheritance. This inheritance is incorruptible, is undefiled, it does not fade away, and where is it? It's in heaven. The renovated earth brethren got it wrong. They want more of the same. If anything, the mediator did all of that work because he knew that there's something in heaven waiting for him. Oh, enter into the joys of thy Lord. The kingdom that was prepared before the foundation of the world. To an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, faded not away, reserved in heaven for who, friends? For you. Brethren, think about this. This one mediator did all of this work so we can live with him? Yes, that's how important we are. The purchase possession and the purchase price are of the same value. And what God has in store for us, friends, let us not throw it away. Number three, why is Jesus' mediation so great? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 again. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Brother Mike, you're going to read it again? Yes. Why? Because it's important. It's so important for us to be reminded, friends, why is Jesus being a mediator so important? Because God wants us to pray. He wants us to supplicate. All prayer, all supplication is prayer, but not all prayer is supplication. Supplication means I'm going to God about one thing and one thing only. Almost to the point, and I hate to say it like this, almost like you're bugging God. But really what you're doing is you're taking your concern to God, my heartache to God. Through who? Through Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 6, there the Bible demonstrates to us, cast all your cares upon him. Why? He cares for you. We need a mediator. We need an intercessor. We need someone that's going to go to God on our behalf. When we utter our words unto God, God sees our heart. The book of Revelation talks about the prayers of the saints coming up as a sweet aroma unto God. So why don't we pray? Why do we keep things to ourselves? The God of heaven is up there. He's wanting to listen to us. Jesus Christ is at the right hand, wanting to hear so he can give it to God. I can handle this myself. I don't need no help. I don't need the brethren. I don't need the bank. I don't need God. No, you need him. Intercessor. Mediation. And so when your denominational friends, when your atheistic friends, when your heathen friends say, man, I'm going through some serious problems. One thing I love about sinners, at least some of them, man, some of them are real honest. They'll tell you, man, I'm suffering right now. Man, it's hard right now. Let's pray. I'm actually doing what God tells me to do. I'm making intercession for all men. You never know what might happen because of the work of the mediator. But watch this. This is so powerful. Verse 2. For kings and all who are in authority. Jesus, you are that one mediator and you want us to be praying for our leaders. You want us to be praying for leaders in other countries. You want us to be praying for the good and the froward, the perverse. I want you to pray for all men. Why? Because I love all men and I want to save as many as possible. He desires all men, not y'all men, to be saved. He desires all men to be saved and what? Come to the knowledge of the truth. And so when we stop and we consider this, we're honored to approach God, James 4 and verse number 8. We draw near unto God. His mediation positions us to approach God fully. Notice Hebrews 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, watch this. Jesus being that one mediator. Seeing then we have a great high priest. This is not a regular high priest. This is not Aaron. Friends, this is Jesus Christ who passed through the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. But was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Watch this. Let us therefore come confidently, boldly. Friends, did you get that, brothers and sisters in Christ? The reason why we can approach God with great confidence, because we have a man by the name of Jesus Christ who is sitting at the right hand, and he hears everything. God hears it all. Jesus is part of the plan in order to mediate for man, to go to God on his behalf. Watch this. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? In order that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Why do we need a mediator? Because God saw fit. Jesus is our mercy seat. He's our propitiation. In the old covenant, God would be sitting on the mercy seat. Moses would be the mediator under the law of Moses. That's interesting. But here, Jesus would be our mercy seat. He would be the one that God would extend mercy through. And praise be to God that we can come to God with confidence through the mediator that he chose. Under the Levitical system, they had to go through a human system. Under this system, we go through a divine system. Jesus Christ. Wow. I don't know about y'all, but Bible study makes me happy. Sometimes when I'm preaching, Brother Albert, I get to learn this stuff while I'm preaching. I'm like, now why I didn't think about that when I was studying? And the lights start going off. I'm like, wow. Hold on. Jesus, you suffered. You took a beating. You bled. You died in order for you to go on my behalf, Mike's behalf, Obed's behalf, Anthony's behalf, to God? Yes, I did. That's how important you are. Let me tell you a verse that got me through the rough times of my infancy in Christ. Brother gave me Hebrews 13:5 and Romans 8:31. And I tell you, that transition of coming out of the world into Christ. And I used to always say, if God be for me, who can be against me? And I used to say, Father, you are for little bitty old me who's worthless, worth nothing? In Hebrews 13:5, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm like, wow, okay, so I am important. But why? Because of the mediator, Jesus Christ. And I don't have to guess who he is. I know I can't mediate for myself. I know I can't have another brother mediate for me. Because there's only one that's sitting at his right hand, friends. And it's not even the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus the Christ. I don't know how all that works, and I don't even care. But I know what this book says. The book says he's sitting at the right hand. And he's making mediation and intercession for us. Jesus being mediator and intercessor, this implies that prayers go through Jesus, not to Jesus. Remember Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 9, he taught his disciples how to pray, Abba Father, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Friends, how do you take these clear passages that demonstrate that Jesus is teaching us how to pray? Look at Hebrews 7 and look at verse number 25. In Hebrews 7 and verse number 25, Jesus, something powerful happened here in the context of Melchizedek. Here we see in verse number 25, therefore, he, is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God. How? Through him. Obed, did you see that? Through him. Since he always lives, Jesus suffered, bled, and died on the cross, was buried in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, raised on the third day, never to die again, always making intercession for us. That's the text. Jesus lives to make intercession. He lives to go between us and God. Praise be to God that we have someone who is an intercessor. In Romans chapter 8 and verse number 34, describes Jesus' responsibility as mediator, as intercessor. And yes, these words can be used interchangeably. However, the context must bear out your conclusion. In Romans chapter 8 and verse number 34, notice what the Bible here demonstrates. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. Now, notice the text literally tells us Christ died. We don't have to insert the Holy Spirit. We don't have to insert the Father. We don't have to insert us. Christ who died. And furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes what? Intercession. Friends, it's Bible study. If we believe the Bible is right to the one that believes it.
Amen.
If you don't believe it, it's not right. And so therefore God says, I'm not talking to you. But if you believe it, the Bible is right. In Romans chapter 8 and verse number 27, notice what the Bible there communicates. Now he, who is the he? Well, let's figure it out. Let the text talk. Who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is. Why? Because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So who is the heart searcher? In Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 23. Oh, Brother Joe, the Bible's right. That's all we have. If I begin pontificating things that the Bible doesn't teach, then I'm going to find myself wanting. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 23, notice what the Bible here communicates. Jesus is speaking, I will kill her children with death, and all the children shall know that I am the what? I am he who searches the minds and the hearts. Jesus, who are you? I'm the heart searcher. So we can conclude safely that Romans 8 and verse 27 is Jesus the Christ. Not the Holy Spirit, not man, but Jesus. He's the heart searcher. So Jesus is looking at the hearts of all of us even today. He uses the Holy Spirit according to Romans chapter 8 and verse number 2 as the mind of the Spirit, as the law of the Spirit. He uses the Word of God. And the Word of God which is in my heart, when I have the Word of God in my heart, it teaches me how to pray. And when I pray, I know what to pray for. Why? Because I'm going to pray according to His will. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 14. Wow! The Bible is right! The Bible is right. Well, Brother Mike, I don't agree with that. You don't have to. You got to agree with God. You don't got to agree with Mike Bonner. You got to agree with God. And as long as God has the final say, that's the way it's going to be. It's amazing that the Bible teaches. If we just sit back, humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and allow Him to teach us. Teach us what? I sent my Son to be a go-between. We live in a world today, before I come to my close, they hate God. Oh, people hate God today. They hate God. They hate God. They hate God. People hate God today. They hate Him. And those of us who are Christians ought to be crying because they hate God. And God said, I love you so much that I sent my Son. In Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, God demonstrated His love toward us, and that while they were yet sinners, Christ died. They hate God, but God says, I love you. And I sent my Son to die for you because I love you. And people are demonstrating how much they hate God now. LGBTQ and all those other letters that they're adding to it. They're letting people out of prison now. They're letting pedophiles out of prison now. They're saying, Brother Albert, that it's all right for the pedophiles to love your little babies. Lord, friends, we better use our mediator. We better be going to God in prayer, because it won't be long. They'll be knocking on our doors. Our government just flew in all of these Afghans. They don't believe in Jesus Christ. They believe in Allah. My wife and I was watching a video just the other day, and the video sums it up like this. Y'all live there, but don't get caught up in Disney. That's the work of the devil. Right, Evelyn? It's the work of the devil. And it caused me to think, some of us as Christians, we're so involved with the work of the devil, we can't even tell the difference now. Friends, we better go back to God. We need to repent. And you know what they're also doing? They're allowing people to come in unvetted. What does that mean? You don't know who's going to be living around you. You better be having your prayer life right. But one thing that God knew when He created the world and sent His Son, He knew that 2020 was going to happen. He knew that 2021 was going to happen. He knew what the government of the United States was going to do by bringing in a bunch of people who are totally opposite of the Christian values that we hold. He knew that. And He gave us a mediator anyway, because He knew that we're strong enough to deal with it. Amen, friends. Better wake up. Got to wake up and realize that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to take our prayers to the Father. And He's the only one that can take them to the Father. And we ought to be thankful for that. We better wake up and teach our children to go to God in prayer. I was talking to Brother Patterson last night, the preacher that was here. I was talking to his son last night. Have you been memorizing scripture, boy? I said, boy, you better memorize some scriptures. You better put God's word in your heart. Psalm 119 and verse number 11. How can a young man cleanse his way by hiding his word in his heart? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Brother Mike, why are you saying that? Because when I know the word of God, I know what to pray for. I know when to pray for it. And I wait for God to answer my prayer. He's my mediator. And so we take it to the world. And don't be afraid to talk to these Afghans when they start coming. You stand up flat-footed telling them that Jesus is the Christ. Amen. Not Allah. Jesus Christ. Some people in the church are so afraid already. But Solomon said something a long time ago. The fearful run, even when no one is pursuing them. We don't run because the armor is up front. There's no covering for the back. Because we have on the whole armor of God, we are moving forward. But we can because Jesus Christ is our mediator and intercessor. God didn't confuse us. We're confusing ourselves. Amen. Let's stay with the book. Let's stay with the Bible, the Word of God. And when we do that, there's no confusion. Final point. The benefits of Christ work for us today because it positions us, James 5 and verse 16, that we can confess our fault. I don't know about you, friends, but I love it when brethren rebuke me, because the Bible taught me that. In Proverbs 9 and verse number 8, if you reprove a scorner, he'll hate you. But if you rebuke a wise man, he'll love you. A lot can be said about us when someone corrects us. How dare you? You're not old enough. You don't know enough. If you have children, they'll correct you. Here's the question: will you be humble enough to accept the correction? And then you go to God in prayer, thanking Him that you can approach Him. That you can approach the God of heaven through this intercessor, this mediator, this high priest, the one that loves us. We can confess our fault. Hebrews 13:7, we can pray for our leaders in the church. In 1 John 5:14, we can ask God anything we want as long as according to His will. There's no need for Mike Bonner praying for another woman. I got a wife. That's not according to His will. Amen.
Y'all do what y'all want to with that. I know that God, when He put Adam to sleep, took out a rib. He didn't take out a spare rib. Y'all do what y'all want to with that. Got too many spare ribs running around in the world that we live in today. God ain't in the spare ribs. Man is. But if we ask anything according to His will, watch this. God, what is Your will? All men be saved. That's evangelism. God, what is Your will? Your sanctification. 1 Thessalonians 4. What does that mean? I want you to be holy. What is Your will? Give thanks in all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Father, what's Your will? I want you to have a merry heart. What's Your will, Father? Sometimes we're praying for everything and anything instead of the will of God. You know what we ought to be praying for? That more souls come to Christ before God sends His Son. Amen. Friends, we're still in the soul-saving business. And one thing I love about COVID-19, it has made us, listen to this, it has made us thinkers. Amen. Because you can't put things on autopilot anymore. You got to think it through. You know one thing I love about what y'all did this weekend? Y'all could have easily said, we're not meeting this weekend. We're not going to be bringing in all these people from all over the place. We don't know what these people got. Y'all had enough faith, Brother Albert. Thank you. Brother Phil, thank you. Where's this other brother at? Where? But thank you. Thank you. Why? Because we need edification. We need encouragement. We need to know that we have a mediator, an intercessor, and a God that still loves us. We're going to stay with Him regardless. And so we can pray for the spread of the gospel, Colossians 4:2. And we can be a people of integrity. Look at 1 Peter 3 and look at verse 12 as I end. I appreciate y'all being patient, listening to the Word of God. I'm not asking you to agree with everything I'm saying, but I am asking you to go and be a Berean. Go check it. You don't have to believe nothing I say, because I ain't nobody. But the Word of God is. Notice 1 Peter 3:12. And all of this is because of the one mediator. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Does God hear a sinner? No. He hears those who submit to His mediator.
Amen.
Jesus the Christ. And if a man won't submit to Jesus Christ, you probably want to leave that person alone. Why? Because a person that won't submit to God will do just about anything. But a person that submits to God, there's many things he won't do. Amen. Are you submitting to the mediator? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of his sins. Confess Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of the sins, and God will do something amazing in your life. He will forgive you for everything you've done wrong. He will add you to His Son's church. He will put you on the road to eternal life.
Have you ever taken him to the point of death, that intercessor, that mediator, that high priest, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Savior of the world? He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I make you rule over many, enter into the joys of thy Lord. That's what I'm waiting for. When a person dies in Christ, I almost get envious. I do. They finished. Paul said, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Here's what there's made up of this crown of righteousness, which the Lord of righteousness just gives me at the end. And not to me only, but to all of them also. And love his appearance. And then Jesus has the nerve to say this. Revelation 14 and verse number 13. Right, John. Blessed are the dead that die. Yea, against for sin, spirit. They do rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. I can't wait to leave this place so I can be with God. I can be like the Apostle Paul. Oh, I have a desire to go and be with the Christ, but it's more needful for me to be here. So as long as God wants me to be here, I'm going to be here. But when it's time for me to leave, don't you put nothing on my body. I'm out of here. Out of 5,000. Trying to stay here not a minute longer than what I have to. I told my children, don't you keep me from going to worship. Don't you put no chemicals in my body. Don't you put no leads on my body. I'm out of here. I'm finished my course. I trust God that he's going to take care of us just like he took care of Paul. As we stand, as we sing, say his invitation.